birthday party?
Then you got a freaking miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. All right, Abracadamets, I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I hope you got to spend it with family and friends. And if not, I hope it was just a chance maybe you got to rest. You got to chill. That's what I'm really hoping. We had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Nothing big special. Not a big crowd, not a big group or anything. Just me and my daughter and my wife. And we hang out here and we stuffed ourselves. So, yes. It was definitely a fantastic Thanksgiving. Been a good week. I hope you guys have had a good week as well. I've been real busy with shows. Had some private shows the first of the week, which was terrifying. Yeah, I did a show Monday, and it was for a family reunion. They were flying in for a family reunion. And they had rented this chalet at the top of this mountain. And this was one of the most terrifying roads I have ever driven on in my entire life. Because this was way up in the sky. I mean, it was, and I hate heights. And it was like one of those roads, if you've ever seen like, it's like a cartoon. You know, if you've ever seen like a cartoon of someone driving up a mountain, that's how this road was. And you'd be thinking, like, in 2021, they would have guardrails on the side of these roads. Not a guardrail, no. So if you drove off the side of this road, it was instant death. Just straight down. It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. But anyways, I got up there, did a show, great show, got back down the road. And I never want to go back up that road again. So, but anyways, other than that, good week. Good week. And let's do this, though. Enough about me. Let's get right into today's sponsor for the Abracadam Podcast. Okay. You ever get up in the middle of the night and you think you might see like a shadowy figure there in the corner of your bedroom? And then you get to looking a little closer and you're like, does he have my underwear? But then you realize it's just that big pile of dirty laundry that's been piling up in your bedroom. That's right, folks. Today's episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Yes. Now, if you're anything like me, I hate doing laundry. And yes, dirty laundry can pile up. So don't hesitate to take your laundry to Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services, located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Bob a call at 865-951-3237. Bob also offers a delivery service for anyone who's a senior citizen or homebound. Guys, doing your laundry has never been easier. All you have to do is take your big old pile of dirty clothes, drop it off, come back, and your clothes will be clean, dry, and folded and ready to go. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Check them out today. This episode is also brought to you by The Grove Barbershop. Now, guys, I've been getting my hair cut at The Grove for a long time, and owner and operator Jeff Hackler is an awesome barber. And the best part is, all you have to do is just make an appointment. You go online to thegrovebarbershop.com, select your time, select the day, and then show up. You show up, everything is clean, organized, and it's just you and Jeff. He gets your hair cut, get you looking nice, and get you out of there in no time. So be sure to check out The Grove Barbershop located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Jeff a call if you want to at 865-482-2210 and make your appointment at thegrovebarbershop.com. All right, Abracadamets. Now today's guest, this is exciting. This is cool stuff. It really it is. He is a cryptozoologist and anthropologist. He travels all over studying mythical creatures, or maybe they're not mythical. Maybe they're real. I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to you. But definitely, talking with this guy kind of opened my mind a little bit, and there's some other things up there that we may not know that exist. So, if you will, abracadamets, sit back and relax and listen to my fun conversation with Alex Mistrata. All right, I'm excited. We have Alex Mistrata today here on the Abracadam Podcast. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, do you care to go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, my name is Alex Mistrata. I'm essentially here because I'm a cryptozoologist, which means I study animals that don't exist and try to convince people that they do. So and I also deal in a lot of other paranormal subjects like UFOs and ghosts and that kind of stuff because it pays the bills a little bit. But cryptozoology is pretty much my my life passion. I went to school. I majored in anthropology and in psychology, and I got a BS in each one of those, specifically anthropology for cryptozoology. So I'd have a better, you know, better biological base so I can go on and do serious work and not the kind of stuff you see on television, you know?
You know what? Okay. So that's one thing that I really like about you. You're not just some kook who, you know, decided you're going to want to play out in the woods all day. At least you got a degree. Let me just put it that way. So you got a little background, you've took it serious. But let's do this real quick. Now, yeah. I mean, growing up as kids, I think these are one of these topics that there's always been some type of interest, you know, growing up when we've heard about stories of Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or these things like this. It was a little extra added entertainment as a child. But what kind of got you interested in this?
In Search of, the show of Leonard Nimoy, you know, I started watching it as a kid and I was just like, you know, fascinated. And then as a kid, we went to, we had a friend at a cabin in Big Bear, one of my mom's friend. And then Big Bear is out here in Southern California. It's where I ski to this day. And one night, you know, it was around 10 o'clock when he went to bed. I was about 10 to 12. I'm not sure exactly how old I was. And I heard this like this growl outside, you know, and obviously, in my imagination as a kid, ooh, Bigfoot's out there or whatever, you know, even though in reality, it probably was a bear or mountain lion or whatever, you know. But I remember thinking, you know, my mom's asleep. So I grabbed my jacket. I went out there and I went running towards that noise, trying to find out what that growl was. You know, obviously, I never saw anything. But I think that was kind of like, that just kind of like was so exciting for me as a kid that kind of set me up where like, this is what I want to do, you know. And you know, I make money off it, so I'm able to actually go and do it professionally and that sort of thing, which sort of happened, but not really, you know, but.
Well, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of a lot of things start out for a lot of people, you know, there's something that they catch the bug as a child and
yeah.
It carries on. And it is a, you know, it sounds like a cool thing to do for a living, especially to get paid for that you can do. Over the years, you know, it has caught more and more, you know, caught on, you know, even more, even to where you, like you mentioned, some of the dumb TV shows that are on there. And somewhat that's helpful and somewhat that is annoying, you know. So what is, because, you know, mainly let's talk about Sasquatch, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And it seems like each little area in the country has its own legend, you know. And you know, which is kind of leads back to the you know, the point that maybe there is something out there. But do you think this is something that has let me look for the word I want to look. Well, has it always been around? You think it's always been around? It wasn't something that just started with the Native Americans?
Yeah, it has to be, I think, because you have to look at it from an evolutionary biological standpoint, right? So you have to look at in our past, whether it's on the human side or on the ape side, you have to look at fossils and animals or species we knew existed that looks like Bigfoot, you know, because it has to come from somewhere. It has to have an origin point. And everything that looks like Bigfoot is a primate, right? And every primate originated, you know, in Eurasia and originally in Africa, right? So it had to be here for a long time and, you know, migrate here just like we did, essentially, you know, probably through the Bering Straits, you know, up to, you know, from Russia to Alaska type of deal. That would be the most sensible, you know, mm-hmm. hypothesis.
Well, okay, you know, this is where I kind of have some issues is, yeah. you know,
I believe in evolution. Absolutely, I do. And, you know, I always wonder, there's always that argument, like, what is the missing link? And why are there apes and humans, but there's nothing in between? What, you know, what's going on? And then people, you know, a lot of times say, well, that's where Bigfoot comes in or something. But Bigfoot is supposed to have been so much, it's so much bigger of a creature than what we are, even compared to apes. Is that what you kind of lean on?
Yeah, I think especially the last 20 years, I think a lot of people still have a dated view of evolution where there's like a straight line type of deal. But we find out it's not like that at all. It's a bunch of branches. And, you know, we found recently that, you know, humans were interbreeding with a lot of more primitive, you know, hominids. And so there's a lot going on back. I mean, you look at about 200,000 years ago, there's 9 human-like species with very primitive traits, meaning like, you know, covered in hair, still bipedal, some had small brains, some had bigger brains, all running around together, you know? So the only thing with Bigfoot is it's just a little bigger, you know, than all those fossils that we have.
And see, that's where I can get on board with it. Okay, I will say this. I can get on board with that because, I mean, hell, Bigfoot could be some type of Neanderthal or some type of branch of that, what you're kind of saying there. I can get on board with that. I can totally get on board with that. That could be possible if Bigfoot exists. Now, here's where the problem that I have, okay? Unlike UFOs and unlike ghosts, I think with ghosts and UFOs, I think there's some very good evidence out there that supports that. I really do. But I want to say there's probably only one video that I have ever seen of a Bigfoot that has made me think something other than some goon dressed in a suit playing in the woods. And I think, you know, with something that would be in our own backyard, how come we don't see more evidence of these creatures in the wild? How come we don't see dead Sasquatches on the side of the interstate? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, I agree with you. We should have more evidence than we do. And that's something that I can't explain. Honestly, I don't have an answer for that. And I agree, it's a good point, and it's something that I think about all the time. In terms of finding a body, though, well, I agree, we should have more sightings, we'd have more videos, more pics. But bodies, maybe not, because how often are you going to come across a Sasquatch body in the woods that you recognize as something that's unusual, you know, versus a bear? I mean, once things start to decompose, which in a while takes about a day before something's unrecognizable, I don't know if somebody's just walking around to be like, oh, wait a minute, that looks like a Bigfoot, you know? And in terms of also bones that we don't have, I think that we do have bones. It's just they've never been labeled as such. There's a plethora of strange, robust bones that we have in various universities and, you know, found by anthropologists that gets labeled this, it gets labeled that. It doesn't really quite fit into what we know, the fossil record. Any one of those, theoretically, could be Bigfoot or Bigfoot ancestor, just because there's no such thing officially as a Bigfoot species hasn't been labeled as such, you know? Going back to the video thing, I think there's a handful of videos that I've seen, but again, it's very few that I think are pretty good. 99%, it's people looking at like just blogs. I mean, like, you know, tree leaves are moving or rocks and, you know, fakes.
What I see, okay, first of all, you know, every time I see a video, period, no matter what it is, I think, how would Danny Whitson fake this? If I wanted, even when I watch Ghost, the least impressive paranormal videos to me are when cabinets are flying open or things are flying off the shelf, because I can do that. Myself, easy, you know. So that's the least impressive thing to me. But and the same thing with Bigfoot is it's always from a distance. He's always somewhere in the trees. I'm going to be honest with you. At this point, if I was in the woods and I saw a Bigfoot, I'm thinking, you know what, dude? My ass is getting rich. I'm videoing it, and I'm going to run right up on this bitch. You know, I'm running right up on him. I'm going to try to get the best picture video I possibly can. And if he kills me, all right, then boom. All right, it is what it is. I saw Bigfoot. But I see all these videos, and it just looks like garbage. But I do want to point this one out, and I don't know the name of it, man, and I do apologize. I tried to find it, but I could not find it anywhere on YouTube. But my wife is a big fan of the paranormal. She watches and this is for entertainment. It's her entertainment. It's what she likes. But she watches the paranormal videos caught on tape, television show. The majority of that stuff is complete garbage. But every now and then, they have a video that I have to label as interesting, you know, and that's the best I can give something, you know, that's interesting. And there was a few episodes back that they had a video of someone was going down the road, and I think this was in California, and they were videoing the nature, not trying to pick up anything unusual. First glance, you see nothing. You just see trees, bushes, and you're like, oh, what in the hell? What am I seeing? They slow it way down, and you clearly see the figure of what looks like a Sasquatch, almost camo, you know, like what a deer would, you know, people who aren't familiar with hunting and stuff, a deer can be camouflaged right under your nose and you would never know it, you know. So I saw that and I thought, wow, now this clearly was unintentional video, and something like this would, you know, pass right by me and or most people. So I found that video. I was like, that's very interesting. And it wasn't one of these crazy shots of hairy guy just moping in the woods, you know. Yeah. It was, and to me, I thought that was so much better than anything I've ever seen. But now let me ask you this, because I have not done this. I have never spoken to anyone who has ever encountered a Bigfoot or has, you know, a Bigfoot story whatsoever. Do you have anything like that maybe you could share, or because I'm sure you have spoke with people?
Yeah, well, I can tell personal experiences. I've had one sighting and I found tracks one time that I thought was pretty compelling. So I'll go with the tracks first because it's less exciting. But we were going to Southern Washington, and there's a place out there near Trout Lake where people report a lot of Bigfoot activity, especially in October, that time of year, right? So a lot of it's on reservation land and all that. So we went down there about 5 years ago, and so anyway, we were driving around trying to find a passage into the woods that looked pretty promising, you know, and I work a lot on, besides, once I pick my spot, the time of year and, you know, the spot I pick, a lot of it, I like to walk around and kind of feel out the place and go on instinct a little bit, you know. So we found a spot. I'm like, well, that looks pretty good, you know. So we went down, and first thing found some bear tracks. I'm like, okay, you know. And then we saw some deer tracks that was coming out from the clearing. And following kind of like above the tree tracks were a bunch of kind of broken branches about, you know, like at a head level. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's Bigfoot activity, but okay, maybe, maybe not, you know. But if you see something, you go, well, let's try looking here just in case. And I followed the deer tracks and I saw some about 16-inch size footprints, you know, in the mud that seemed to be following the deer. Then ended up kind of in the middle of like an open area and kind of went around in a circle and seemed to kind of lost track of the tracks after that, but seemed to, I'm guessing, kind of freaked out, might even open, and then kind of went back in the forest, you know? So I thought that was pretty intriguing in terms of some of the tracks I found, you know? And only because, again, we found it because we're following deer tracks, which sort of makes sense for, you know, for big predator type of thing. And, but we didn't see anything conclusive that day. And I found tracks on several occasions, but that was the only time where I felt, well, this looks pretty good to me, you know, from an experience standpoint. But my sighting was actually in, and that tells you how difficult things is to see things in the wild. This was in Ohio.
Now, okay, let me ask you real quick. How long were you, okay, because surely to goodness, it can't be that easy to actually see a Bigfoot. So how long did it take you, were you into this before you actually saw one?
Oh, you mean, and on that trip?
Well, I mean, just career-wise, I guess.
Oh man, it's been like 20 years since, you know, and. Granted, like, because of lack of funding, I haven't been out as much as I want to, you know?
But I mean, well before, how far were you into Bigfoot hunting, investigating until you actually saw one?
Probably 20 years.
Wow. Okay, definitely. Well, let's hear this, brother. I want to hear it.
But I've never really been in a really good spots that I think. But anyway, yeah. So we were in Ohio. There's this place called Salt Fork Lake, Salt Fork Park. I forgot. Anyway. But, and it had a lot of, you know, reputation of Bigfoot sightings or, you know, whatever. And I thought it was a pretty good area. There's a lot of wilderness. It, you know, you have long passageways that connect to bigger wilderness, which is, I think, important because if something's too isolated, we would have found it by now, you know, just biology, right? And so anyway, I was actually, somebody sent me an email from Hong Kong. It was a film crew that wanted to do a show on Bigfoot and they wanted to know if I could lead them into the forest, you know? So I'm like, sure, you know, I'll do it. It sounds like fun. So this was about then the second day out. And it was a dusk. It was a night. We're only about, honestly, about half an hour into the forest. You know, and I didn't really expect to see anything because we weren't that far off, you know, kind of like the main road type of thing, you know? So anyway, so we're walking and nothing. We don't hear anything. We start hearing some howls, which didn't really sound like coyote. You know, I'm no dog expert, coyote expert, but I've heard enough coyote, you know, cries out in a while to be like, well, this is could be something different, you know. So we blasted some recordings that someone allegedly had from Bigfoot, and I don't know how, you know, how much that really works. They usually don't show us all the time, but it's just a matter of you make noise, let somebody know that you're here, you know, type of deal, and hope to get a response. And we got more howls, and then by now it's pitch black, right? So we're at the top of this, like this cliff, and I'm looking down and I see this thing walk between two trees, something that looked pretty big, that was bipedal, literally in the middle of nowhere in the dark, you know? And even with the cameras and the lights, didn't capture anything on camera, you know, because how quick it went. But it seemed to me like it was hiding behind a tree. You know, so I'm like, well, there's two options, right? It's a guy, obviously looked pretty big for a dude, but you know, it's deceiving, right? When you're like really excited and you're actually expecting to see Bigfoot. I'm like, or it's something unusual because it's walking on two legs, you know? And the camera was, guy, the camera crew was trying to get a little scared. We started hearing footsteps on the left, on the right. It was a weird thing. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go down because, you know, we're here. I'm not going to stay up here, you know, and do like they do on TV and run away. We're going to go, you know, I'm going to go and catch up to it. But again, you don't want to run up to it. You're not in your environment. No, you're not going to catch up on an animal in its environment if you're going to run up to it. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to catch a cougar. You're not going to catch a deer. You're not going to catch a Bigfoot if they exist, you know? So my approach is I go down about 10, 20 feet, go behind a tree, wait about a minute, go down another 10, 20 feet, you know, until I got pretty close and I could see around the trees and it was gone. Never didn't see a leaf, nothing, you know? And I can't say it was a Bigfoot. It'd be irresponsible for me to say so, but it was weird enough, you know? And then what got even stranger is that I heard screaming from above, you know, a couple of the girls, I could hear them kind of screaming in up there. And my first priority is keep people safe in the woods because it's not like they've had a lot of experience out there. So I kind of ran up and like footprints, we could hear it all around us. And sure enough, I could hear this heavy, heavy footprints hitting the ground out in the distance up to the left behind us. And we started walking out, it was kind of following us, but we couldn't see anything. It was that dark, even with, you know, lights of the camera and I had, you know, headlamp, whatever. And that's as close as I've gotten, you know?
So do you think, okay, do you think if they do exist, they're intelligent? Are they like a nocturnal? What's your take on that?
I think the nocturnal thing gets overblown a little bit because I think when it comes to that, I know a lot of people say, well, they're nocturnal species. We don't really know that much to really say that. But I think the problem is majority of sightings occur where we're at and where they're walking by. So like it's a chance encounter, you know? Very few times I think people have gone deep enough in a forest where a breeding population could survive undetected with enough resources to be able to function, you know, and stay hidden, right? So they're chance encounters. And I think, you know, it's intelligent enough. I mean, you look at chimps, you look at gorillas even, you know, they can learn right up to 300, 400 words, you know, gorillas can play drums with Peter Gabriel, you know, that sort of thing. So chimps watch movies, you know, and I don't know how much they comprehend, but you know, as an anthropology student, I spent a lot of time at the zoo observing chimps and gorillas specifically so I can compare it to, you know, alleged Bigfoot behavior, right? So I think that at least they have that type of intelligence, if not more. So I think they're intelligent enough to, you know, at night, if they're going to venture near us, do it at nighttime where it's hardest for them to be spotted, you know? So I think that if you go deep enough in their territory, I think you have just as a good chance of seeing stuff during the day, you know, but that requires, again, it's, you have to go, requires time and money and, you know, and that sort of thing. So, and that's part of the problem, I think.
So you've worked closely with chimps?
No, I mean, not so much. Just as an anthropologist, I just had to write papers on chimps or gorillas or, you know, on human evolution. So I would spend time at the zoo for like hours just watching their behavior. And I would stay extra time because even then I'm like, well, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to go claim that Bigfoot, this mysterious primate is out there, I got to know my shit. You know, I got to know.
Absolutely.
The things that we know, how they behave, how they work, you know, so.
I'll be honest, man, I don't like chimps. All right, I'm going to say it right out. I think chimps are assholes. I mean, a little bit that I do know, you know what I mean? Now, what are the peaceful ones? The
bonobos.
Yes. Now, though, they seem cool because they solve everything with sex. which, you know, okay, makes sense. All right, they're cool. Yeah. But chimps are assholes. They rip your face off. They go for your nuts. It's brutal. They kind of creep me out, you know. I think would be Planet of the Apes.
Really? Well, I mean, chimps have wars, you know, they have tribes and they have wars and they make spears. I've seen a video of a chimp making a spear, you know, and throwing it.
They're like people, but stronger. So screw that. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it's a negative side of intelligence.
Yeah, you know. There's also footage of gorillas and apes walking, on their feet, you know, for a long period of time. I've seen some of those videos, which are kind of creep me out a little bit too, you know.
Well, especially bonobos, actually, their musculature actually a lot closer to us than to chimps. So they, you know, that it's easier for them to kind of look like us when they walk and that sort of thing. So
I always find that, like, when you think about, like, on the evolutionary, and I know it's not a straight line,
right? Yeah,
there's a branch of everything. But what if there's a portion of us that came from them and another portion that came from them? I mean, you always wonder, like, if you meet that one guy that's an asshole, you know, I bet your ancestor was a chimp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
so that's just, but I always found that kind of interesting. But let's talk about this. This is weird. And I don't know if I'm down with this, man. I don't know. This is kind of like, you know, mixing your grits with your gravy, brother. I'm not a big fan of this, you know. But have you heard somebody, or have you heard the theory? I think Ryan believes this. I'm going to be honest with you. Ryan, Stacy, if your ass is listening, I think you believe this. Do you think that Bigfoot and aliens and the paranormal are all connected?
I don't.
Okay.
I know Ryan and I kind of get into it occasionally. I don't. And okay, I understand that some people report paranormal modalities when they're out doing Bigfoot stuff. And to be honest, I don't quite know what to make of that. But here's the thing. If you look at Bigfoot as a kind of a global thing, right? So if you look at the Yeti in the Himalayas, called the Yeren in China, you've even had sightings out of, you know, in Kenya and anyway, Russia, other places. None of that paranormal or alien stuff kind of comes in any of that history at all, despite what some people may claim. You know, and even in the United States, the whole alien paranormal modality that was added to the Bigfoot mythos didn't really come into about the 1970s, right? Sort of before that, you know, you mostly just have kind of Native American stories and that sort of thing. And then some people are like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, but Native Americans kind of have, you know, supernatural attributes to Bigfoot, but they do too with wolves, you know? That doesn't really mean anything, right? Wolves or bears also figure in a lot of, you know, First Nations mythology. So, and to be honest, because the paranormal is so popular right now and ufology is so popular, those reports that feature those ideas tend to get exaggerated. And, you know, people talk about it more in the media, on YouTube and that sort of thing, especially today where there's like a million podcasts on the paranormal of people that have never actually been out in the field, but they like to talk about it, you know? It's like, but... And so that gets exaggerated. The reality of it is the data for that does exist. So I'm not going to ignore it completely, but it's pretty small compared to just all the normal biological, you know, evidence that we have, you know?
You know, I actually do a bit in my show about this, and I find this absolutely hilarious. Okay, I really do. But I don't know if you know this, but in Georgia, I can't remember the exact town, but in Georgia,
yeah.
There is a museum, a Sasquatch museum, that has a Bigfoot turd in a glass case. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Alex. Either this is some real evidence, or this is the greatest party story of all freaking time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some guy took a shit in the woods and he blamed it on Bigfoot and it wound up in a museum. That's a great story. I think... So, I mean, but you've got some people, I think, that are out there investigating that definitely shouldn't be doing it. When I watch those Bigfoot shows, they're never going to find Bigfoot. People continue to watch the episode, and you're like, they don't find shit. There's nothing there. They're not finding anything. These guys are idiots or howling, throwing rocks, banging on trees in the woods. I don't see what the appeal is. That has to be frustrating for somebody like you who actually is an intelligent guy and who isn't just out looking for, you know, ratings and views.
Oh, you have no idea how angry I get. I'm like, you know, it's like this whole other side of me. And It's funny because I'm, you know, in real life, I'm a pretty mellow guy. You know, I don't get angry a whole lot, but that stuff just drives me absolutely crazy because, you know, I'm out there trying to promote the subject seriously as a cryptozoologist and, you know, trying to get money and funding because, you know, we can't work without it. And I get people sending me message about how, you know, how off I am and that, you know, I'm not accepting the paranormal or I'm not this or I'm insignificant. You know, it's like I get little people sending me private messages, you know, and it's frustrating. It's hard, you know, but.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because, you know, this is what about some of the other things besides Bigfoot? I mean, we've got you know, we've talked about the Loch Ness Monster. I think I mentioned that to you. What about the Chupacabra, if I can say it right. I can't even speak right now. That, I mean, they've actually had some really good video evidence of that thing. And I don't know what in the hell I saw. Was it like a coyote with the mange? Or I've seen some pretty crazy stuff.
Well, when Chupacabra kind of covers two different types of animals, there's the original Chupacabras, which was in Puerto Rico, which has a lot of, which obviously is not something that belongs in zoology because of the way it looks, doesn't make any sense, right? It's got wings, it looks like an alien, whatever, right? So that's something I think that belongs in UFO world. There's Chupacabras in North America, which you've seen, they actually do have DNA and everything kind of came out dog family. They're hybrids, you know, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it's environmental factors, you know, because obviously we have a lot of issues and not environmental issues right now, United States and worldwide, you know. And I think it's like it's creating a new species, sort of, you know, all these hybrids. It's on the increase and you get strange mutations that comes along, you know, with hybrids. Or for example, now you have the thing, the coy wolf, which has become pretty popular, which is something I proposed, you know, a long time ago for some of the, you know, so-called werewolf sightings, whatever that. It's a coyote mix of a wolf. So there's a lot more inbreeding going around. And all the chupacabras in North America are going to turn out to be, you know, dogs or from the dog family. It's just, you know, maybe some of them may have some kind of diseases. A lot of them are skinless. Seems not to have fur. I mean, furless, you know. So I don't think it's mange. Everybody throws mange out there, but it looks something a little more serious. I think it's just a byproduct of all this inbreeding, you know, and all this crossbreeding that's going on.
Well, definitely, you know, what I saw, I was kind of like, wow, that, you know, that was really interesting. And you know, I think, you know, people have been throwing things out there like all the time. And I think there's even like with mermaids, you know, they just turned out to be like manatees and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Now as far as like anything in the ocean, you know, water creatures, is there anything out there that's not real popular that's something you may, you know a little about?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a semi-aquatic one, which is actually my favorite. I spent actually 2 years trying to organize an expedition looking for something called Mokere Membe in Africa. So the background story, now a lot of crazy stuff was written about Mokere Membe because from a just pure physiological standpoint, it looks like a sauropod dinosaur. So everybody's kind of assume it's a lost dinosaur that survived into Africa. And obviously there's a huge group of young earth creationists, which is a group that thinks the earth is 6,000 years old and dinosaurs are a Noah's Ark and all that stuff. They're my arch enemies, you know, and they've kind of taken over the Mokere Membe world. And it's like, it's crazy. But at its base, you know, after working for 2 years on this and getting firsthand testimony, this seems to be a very large semi-aquatic animal deep in the jungles of southern Cameroon. I think it used to be in the Congo, but I think now they're kind of extinct in that area. And as recently as 2017, there was an American engineer that had a sighting down there. So it's like, it's a quadruped though, because we've seen tracks on the shore next to the river, you know, three-toed tracks. And essentially, yeah, it looks like a big, about the size of a hippo, small elephant, round body, long tail, long neck, small head, which makes it look like a sauropod dinosaur, you know? And I'm pretty sure this animal exists. I don't think it's a dinosaur personally. Although that being said, right, if you look at evolution, birds today descended from common ancestor with dinosaurs, right? So you could be looking at a very unique species, another, you know, bird-like situation, except that birds came from theropods. As far as we know, nothing came from sauropods or other types of dinosaurs. This could be the one exception. But it could also just as well be a mammal, you know?
But it almost makes you think, though, something had to come from, you said sauropods, right?
Right.
Something, you would think something would have to have, you know? So it kind of just makes you wonder, you know, like, and that right there, I could get on board with that. Absolutely, I could get on board with that. That's very possible because, hell, I mean, even, you know, the dinosaurs went extinct, but some of them didn't, you know, like we have alligators, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's technically a dinosaur, but they were around.
They share a common ancestor before, you know, dinosaurs. But yeah, I mean, it's like, especially in that region of Africa in the Congo Basin, you have the lungfish, which predates dinosaurs. You have a plethora of animals, you know, that date back to prehistoric times. It's like, you know, and it's also what you call a center of endemism, which means that it's sort of that area functions as an island. You have very specific animals that exist only in that area because it's been somewhat isolated, you know? So just, you know, there's a lot of possibilities, but see Bigfoot and Mokelumne and Nessie, you know, kind of have the same problem where people fixate on what it looks like. And, you know, Bigfoot gets labeled, well, missing link, you know, Nessie gets labeled a plesiosaur. Mokelumne gets labeled a dinosaur because it's exciting and it's easy for people to grasp onto. But in reality, biology and genetics don't necessarily work that way, you know? So, and, you know, I'm a big fan of genetics when it comes to this phenomena. I think environmental DNA, which is this new technique now, we can get DNA from the ground, from dirt, from leaves, from the water of animals that have been near this area. I think that's our biggest tool, you know, in cryptozoology.
Wow. So that could be a game changer.
Yeah, I really think it is. It, you know, obviously then, but here's the thing then, right? That's why you need to attract geneticists. Or, you know, people of PhD, people associated with universities, so they can collect, you know, the samples correctly and analyze it, which isn't that cheap either, you know, and that's why I'm still going back to your question about the paranormal. It's why I avoid that so much when it comes to cryptozoology, because that's not going to help us get to where we want to go. We need an entry point, you know, into our subject, and that's not going to do it.
You know, okay, I want to bring this up, okay, because, yeah. You are a very, your science background, I can tell you that you definitely support science. One thing that does annoy me a little bit, though, sometimes, and I used to be like this, I'm very open-minded now. I really am very open-minded, but I'm very rational as well. Sometimes when I hear scientists criticize evidence of the paranormal, and I'm talking everything, they come at it with a very narrow-minded approach, and I don't know if they recognize how narrow-minded they're actually being, as if, you know, they have all the answers already. And science isn't an answer. Science is a tool. It's a scientific method that you use to try to, you know, replicate something to get an answer. But they come off in an arrogant way that it's kind of insulting a little bit, and it turns me off in some ways. So, and you know, because not to get too deep down the rabbit hole, but, you know, when you open your mind and you say, you know, when you take an idea, for an example, an idea created this screen we're looking at right now. It started out as an idea, and I'm not sure exactly what philosopher said it, but basically, if you can imagine it, either it does exist or it has existed or it can exist. So that's something I lean on a lot with a lot of things like that. So I know there is a possibility of a lot of these things.
But you're right. I think, you know, that's the other side of it where science has turned into dogma a lot of times and not, you know, and they forget what they're there for. The worst thing you can say is we know everything. There's no more species to discover. You know, UFOs aren't here because they can't get here with the laws of physics that we know of. To me, that's the anti-science, you know. Science is supposed to be about exploration and progress. So, and to tell you a funny story, when I was in college, you know, this was my senior year in anthropology, and I did pretty well, and I got along really well with one professor. I was also an athlete in college, so he was always kind of impressed I managed, you know, keep up with my studies and all that, but being out of town a lot. And he's like, hey, man, you want to do an independent study? Just do two of them back to back. He's like, you know, you'll get your two A's in a row. Just study whatever you want. He's like, pick whatever you want. It's done. I'm like, Bigfoot. And he kind of looks at me. He's like, yeah, anything but that. I'm like, zombies in Haiti. He's like, done. You know, so that's how crazy I think science is towards Bigfoot at times. Like, that was like the one subject. I ended up writing two papers on zombies in Haiti and voodoo, which apparently was more, you know, accessible to them, you know, than, you know, Bigfoot was.
And I mean, I just wonder, see, that's kind of, so what if one day they actually do find a real Bigfoot and there it is? What do these guys do? You know, do they still die on that hill? Do they, you know, but, you know, it just makes me wonder. Like, I was kind of, I was annoyed with this recent evidence of UFOs, you know, that came out. And I think actually there's probably much better video footage out there that we're not seeing. But the one of the big sales to me were the pilots talking about what they saw. And I was like, gosh, it's just hard for me to not believe what they're saying, you know? But the you know, you had Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, shitting on it with in an arrogant, you know, condescending way. Right. And I was like, dude, this is really douchey, bro. I really, I respected the guy, you know, as an astrophysicist.
Right.
It was insulting a little bit because I was like, man, I kind of believe this. You know, why would they lie about these things? And you know, the same thing, you know, I know right now we do have an issue with paranormal and UFO stuff being so popular because it's entertainment.
Right.
So any jackass will do anything to get on a television show to talk about whatever for his 15 minutes of fame. That causes a problem for, you know, the area. It really does. And that's what you deal with those Bigfoot shows. But I do think there's a small percentage. Most of it's bullshit, but there is a small percentage that you have to look at, you know, and say, wow, there might be something there. They don't ever do that, though. You know, they never get a chance.
The middle ground doesn't sell, you know, we're especially, I mean, have we seen America the last, you know, 5-6 years? You're either on one side or the other, and you're extreme on both sides. And if you're in the middle, you know, you know, no one listens to you. And that's part of the problem, I think. If you want to take UFO seriously or ghost seriously or Bigfoot or whatever, you know, it's really hard to get that middle ground because everyone wants to be, I always say that I don't believe in belief because belief is irrelevant, you know, which gets me in a lot of trouble at times. So there's people that just want to believe and they couldn't care less. And it's sort of narcissistic in a way because they're like, well, I have my experience. I believe I don't need to prove it, you know, and couldn't care less what you think. Right. So that's one extreme. And then obviously you have Tyson, which, you know, Neil Tyson, which I like a lot generally, but he was, he was being a complete dick over to UFO, you know? So, and you have that other extreme. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, it's just like, can we just go in between a little bit? And, you know,
but that believes in, I mean, some people believe in everything. I've had my own experience with paranormal and I am a believer. I'm 100% believer. And I've shared my story. I've told people as crazy batshit as it sounds. I've told people, I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen a UFO, but like I said, I honestly believe there are things flying in the sky. I don't know if it's aliens. I don't know if it's us.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's us from the future visiting the past. I don't know, but I know it's blowing my damn mind that, you know, from what we've seen, the video footage and Bigfoot, like I said, I'm still not 100% convinced. I'm not, but I don't want to say I would be necessarily super shocked either if they did find one, you know, laid up dead in the woods and had proof of it. It's just the thing that turns me off so much is there's so many idiots out there that are trying to pull off, you know, their next 15 minutes of fame, you know. And because whenever I look at something, I take the things that I know that do exist first. I know people exist and I know people are full of shit. Those are two things that I know for a fact. And so I have to, if I can get past that, then we've got something interesting. But if I can't get past that, then we're not going anywhere. So do you think, what do you think is the future of like cryptozoology? Do you think, I mean, hell, now they're doing so many, like they're cloning animals. Do you think somebody's going to, you know, and we're talking global. We're not talking the US.
Yeah.
A lot of times we like to just keep it here, but I mean, hell, in China, I mean, there's rumors that they're, you know, cloning an ape person right now. I mean, is there any truth to that, by the way? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard the stories. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, from a technology standpoint, it's absolutely possible. Now with CRISPR, you know, you can introduce, you can mix anything, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's scary. Obviously, the only reason we're not doing it is obviously for moral reasons in the US or hopefully we're not doing
and
it.
And the thing with CRISPR, for listeners who may not be familiar, that's almost like CRISPR is almost kind of like the shell that will kind of hold things for them to, I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not a biologist, you know what I mean? But it's basically something that they can use that can, you know, hold those things to where they can mix it, right? Biologically in the body, correct? That's a really dumb definition.
No worries. You know, I mean, I'm no expert on it either. I'm not a biologist, but yeah, essentially you can introduce any trait from any animal into another animal. And, you know, like they made a mouse with a human ear, you know, or
Yeah. Most and those are the good things with CRISPR, by the way. There are good things that CRISPR provides to where you could grow an ear that actually belonged to you, you know, based off your cells, and they could grow it on an animal. You know, or I think that they even use, like, they grew a ear on someone's chest once, you know, is their own ear, and their body wouldn't reject it, you know. So I think stuff like that is amazing. But you're right. There's somebody, you know, other places they're abusing this right now. So there's no telling what could turn out, you know, which is terrifying, super, super terrifying when you think about it, some of the things that could happen. Well, let's do this. Oh, while I'm thinking about it, like I said, man, I could talk to you about this stuff all night long, Alex. This is super cool, brother. Let's do this, though. Normally on the Abracadam podcast, we always ask a guest to tell a hell gig story. Now, do you have a trip or some type of investigation or something that you were doing to where something bonkers happened, something funny, something crazy, or something horrible, anything come to mind?
You know, I was trying to think, and I guess this sort of makes sense. It's kind of part two of that Bigfoot story I told you in Ohio. Gotcha. I already mentioned that, like, I stay away from the UFO angle associated with Bigfoot, like, you know, and I argue over it with people on Facebook all the time. And, you know, I swear and I insult people and they insult me, whatever, right? Try to keep it real. That said, so we're coming out of the forest, you know, and we're still hearing a howl, we're howling back. And all of a sudden the crew is, you know, screaming like, Alex, Alex, Alex. I'm like, well, look at the sky. Sure enough, there's freaking light in the sky that's going zigzagging back and forth, off to the side, forward, backwards, you know, and really clear. And I remember thinking, my first thought was like, fuck, now how am I going to explain this away after all my stance, you know? You know,
and oh my God. But,
you know, that's what I saw, right? And
see, Ryan's going to be like, see, I told you so. There we go.
I know. Hopefully he's not watching. He's not going to be watching this. But yeah. I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, man, that's funny. That is funny. You know, he said the funny, I'll never forget, it was on one of the episodes, and he said, whenever the UFO guy shows up, he goes, I remember showing up to like a paranormal, like con or something. And as soon as I tell them that I believe that the UFOs and the ghosts are related, everyone's giving me the cold shoulder. And I'm just like, you know, that's hilarious, you know, because the ghost people are like, who let this crazy asshole in here? You know, so he believes in UFOs. I just think that's hilarious. But okay, well, hell, who knows? Alex, shit, it may have been Bigfoot up there partying with the aliens up there in the UFOs looking down on you guys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. So I'm going to take a lot of shit. That turns out to be true.
Oh, man, that's funny, dude. That's funny. Hey, we got to do this. I just thought of this. Hold on 1 second. This is the Abracadam podcast, Alex. And you, sir, are in the presence of a magician. So, have you ever seen a magician in the woods?
No, never in the woods.
Never in the woods. All right. Well, you're missing out, dude. Yeah. But we're going to do this. Do you believe in mind reading? You believe in psychics or any of that crap?
Sure,
no, yeah. I said crap. No, just kidding. Well, I'm going to try to read your mind, sir. Now, you're all the way in L.A., and I'm here in Tennessee. So I'm going to do some long-distance mind reading. But what I need you to do, I've got some cards here. And I want you to think of one of those cards. Don't name it. Just think it. You got it in your head.
Got it.
Now, make sure you get it. Okay. Don't screw it up later. Make sure you get
it. I won't do that to you.
I've been on a roll. Well, you got those two kinds of people. You got people that intentionally screw it up. Like, okay, magic boy, I'm going to try to throw you off. You know, and to them, I hope you fall on a cactus and get a yeast infection. But then you got people who totally forget, you know, they totally forget your card. So don't forget your card. What I'm going to do, Alex, I'm going to try to cut the deck here. Yes, Alex. That's kind of what I thought. I tell you what, you know what? I'm going to cut right here, brother. I'm obligated. Now, keep in mind, I can't get out of this. I've cut exactly right here for the first time for the listeners. And keep in mind, they can't see this. They can only hear this. So you got to give me a reaction if I get this right, baby. What was the card you're thinking of?
I tell you the card?
Say it.
Yeah, Queen of Hearts.
The Queen of Hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, abracadamits, the one card I cut to the Queen of Hearts.
Nice.
And Alex is really impressed. He just says nice and makes no facial expressions whatsoever. The Queen of Hearts doesn't impress him. Neither does Bigfoots or UFOs. But you've been abracadabbed, my man.
Nice. Yeah, it's been. I've seen that trick before, but never through through Zoom.
Never through Zoom. Never through Zoom.
Which is more impressive.
Well, I have to magic it up. I couldn't do it if we didn't do at least one damn trick. You know, not this. So anyways, well, I tell you what, man, you had mentioned about, you mentioned funding, you mentioned some things.
Yeah.
Well, how can the listeners learn more about, wait a minute. Before we get in this, I got one more question. One more question.
Yeah.
If you had the choice of, if you had the choice of finding 100% the best evidence, proof, no denial, which, because we talked about a couple, we talked about Bigfoot, we talked about the Chupacabra, about the one in Africa, I can't even say it, talked about all three of those, okay? If you had the choice of being able to prove without a doubt 100% that exists, which one would you choose?
It would be Mokele Mbembe in Africa. That's always been my number one passion. You know, I'm actually planning right now an expedition into Africa in the next couple of years. It's a Bigfoot thing in Kenya for Axe. But I'm hoping if with that successful and we're able to get that off the ground, that Mokele Mbembe will be kind of like my next expedition, hopefully.
So that's where your passion's at now.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's something, you know, I think 2 years of work, I even spent 2 months in Paris waiting to go, and then they had civil war in the Congo, so we were unable to go. It feels like such an unresolved, you know.
And so when did you say you're going?
Well, the Kenyan thing, we're planning hopefully in the next 2 years. We just started organizing. I have a cultural anthropologist and an archaeologist from Africa on board. So we're trying to get it together and, you know, get funding and all that stuff. So,
well, you know what, man, definitely. If you do that and you come back, I would love to have you back on the podcast.
Oh, anytime, man.
Experience with that. That'd be awesome. But I'll tell you what, now let's get to this. You talked about funding, some stuff like that. If the listeners want to send you some money, if they want to help, where can they learn more about you and what you are doing?
Well, starting next week, actually, I'm going to be on two writing platforms, on Substack and something called X Plans. So that's pretty much where all my writing is going to be from now on, because I can make a little bit of money off those two websites sort of thing. So if not, usually my media name is International Man of Mystery. So people can find me under that.
Yeah, you know, baby.
So, yeah, I thought that was cool.
That's awesome, brother. Well, man, I tell you what, dude, this has been fun. This has definitely been interesting. Like I said, you know, I'm still on the fence. I'm still on the fence. But definitely, you know, it's got me thinking. You do got me thinking on some things. But once again, Alex, man, this has been fun, brother. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
No, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it. So thanks, Ryan, for...
Yeah, Ryan!
All right, Abracadamits, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Alex Pastrada. I thought it was great, man. I really enjoyed the conversation. Opened my mind a little bit, got me thinking a little more. I mean, who knows? There might be a Bigfoot running around the woods, man, or hell, a dinosaur living in the Congo. So who knows? If you guys have not done so yet, though, be sure to like, subscribe, follow the Abracadam podcast. Tell your friends, tell your mom and dad, tell your aunt and uncle, tell your grandparents. Tell your dog, tell your hamster, tell them to follow the podcast. We got some amazing episodes coming out for 2022. You definitely don't want to miss those. And a big shout out to all you guys who have shown your support, who have downloaded the episodes. Thank you so much. I do want to say Russia, Kenya, Norway, UK, I see you. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening. Danny!
Will you please stop drinking vodka at my kid's birthday party?
And then you got a freaking miracle. There you go.